Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Pure Bible Study, Revelation chapter 12. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and the third part here of how to overcome. How to overcome everything that is against you, because we're going to find out. We get to Revelation 13. There are some very, very evil, bad, nasty, grumpy things that are against us and prevail over us. How do we overcome that? Number one, by the blood of the Lamb. That is essential. Number two, the word of their testimony, the word of God. And then number three, they loved not their lives unto the death. Big statement here. In some people's minds, it's a scary one because God has built it in us. We have this nature about us that is a self-preserving nature. We have a desire to survive, to live. That's why we eat. That's why when we feel bad, we lay down to rest ourselves. Why? Because we know that if we're not careful, we could push ourselves too far and we can hurt ourselves. For someone to actually go to the point of doing something to take their own life, they have to go a long, long way to fight against self-preservation. So it's in us to want to preserve our own lives, to preserve our own health and so on. That's what's in us. But then as people who are born again, people who have a new nature, a spirit living inside of us, the new man, the Bible calls it, that which John said, that which is born of God, which is in us. It's not this flesh. This flesh wants to preserve its own status quo. But that which is on the inside of us wars against this flesh. And you cannot love your life unto the, or love not your life unto the death, without really being born again, without having that spiritual nature inside of you. And so that is probably one of the things that separates real Christians from fake ones. Fake ones are all about preserving this flesh and satisfying this flesh. And those who are truly born again, the Bible Christians, they learn, and the Spirit helps them overcome this. Their spirit wars against their flesh, and they're going, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Bring this on. Get me out of here. I want out. Doesn't matter if I die. Let it happen. We're like the Apostle Paul, who said, for me to live is Christ. To die is gain. So he said, I'm in a strait between the two. If I live, I get to preach the gospel. I get to help more people. People would need what I can do for them. But he said, if I die, I'm at home with Jesus. So it's always a struggle with us, whether we're going to live or die. In this case here, they love not their lives unto the death. What they had done in their mind, they had done what Paul said. They had counted everything now that's down here as a total loss. I am one of these days, I'm going to lose my life. I'm going to lose all of my property. I'm going to lose whatever money I have. I'm going to lose my family. I'm going to lose my health. I'm going to lose my sanity. I'm going to lose everything. At some point in my life, it will be gone from me, and I will have nothing. It is best to go ahead as a born-again believer to reckon all of these things as if they were already gone and as if they were already happened. Because what you're chained to down here, you're in bondage to. And the devil will use that against you. What you chain yourself to here, maybe it's people, maybe it's things, maybe it's money, maybe it's the position of life that you have, or the position of life that you think you can have. Whatever you're chained to, you're in bondage to. When I was growing up here in this church, there was a young lady, and she was always faithful to come to church. I saw her there all the time. You know, a lot of times when you're little, you don't understand certain things. But she was always there. And her husband hated God, hated church, hated everything about it, never would come. Her husband's mother was constantly working against her coming to church. Finally, the lady gave up. She quit coming. She handed over everything that she desired for, eternal life, a good life, living a Christian life. She gave it up because she decided she didn't want to lose her husband, and that was the choice she made. I don't know where she is right now. Don't know what's going on with her life. That always stuck out to me, that she decided to follow the world instead of following God. She decided that losing her husband and losing everything that was centered around that was more important to her than God was. And she walked away. There are people that will do that. They will decide that they will not pay the price that comes with being a Christian. And yes, there is always a price to pay if we decide that we're going to follow Jesus. And I'm going to show you that from the Scripture. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. Listen to this story. Listen, this is the rich young ruler. Listen to what's taught here. Behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? There are those who love to use this story and say, see, there is a way to work out salvation that if you do certain things, you can get eternal life. Let's read the whole thing. Then we put it in the context of the rest of the Scripture, because the Scripture, one place, does not contradict another. It gives us understanding at what we're looking at. The Apostle Paul wrote, There is none righteous, no, not one. There is not any that doeth good. No one does. No one ever has. Was Paul wrong in what he said? No. So with that in mind, we look at this story now and look and see what it says. And he said unto him, Jesus, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Did you catch that? This young man said, Good master. And Jesus said, Why are you calling me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Therefore, Jesus can be called good. He is God. But Jesus is also telling this young man, There is no one good. No one. No one. Not this young man. Now watch this. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Okay? That was the old covenant that said, do and live. See the word life there. Do and live. That was the contents of the old covenant. Contract that God had. Watch this. He saith unto him, Which commandments? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Six things here that he told him to do. Listen to what the young man said. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up, and what lack I yet? He was lying through his teeth. See, this is what we do. We like to think that we have done enough, or that we can do enough, to satisfy the just requirements of the law. This is not some other gospel that Jesus had. Okay, now, for you, I tell you what, I'll make you a deal. I'm going to make a deal with all the other Gentiles, but I'm going to make a deal with you that if you do all the commandments, then you'll live. That was the old covenant. And the Apostle Paul is very clear on why God sent the Old Covenant, why God gave the law to them at Mount Sinai, so that sin may abound, so that grace may abound. Now look at verse 21. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Where was Jesus going? To the cross, to crucify the flesh. That's where he goes. That's where you and I go. Jesus said, if any man will be my disciple, let him take up his cross daily and follow after me. It's a daily thing that we follow after Christ. And the cross is all about sacrificing all of this. And so Jesus said, the young man said, all these things have I kept from my youth. What lack I? He knew he was lying through his teeth. He said, go and sell that thou hast, give to the poor, that thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. See what happened? Jesus knew it. Jesus is the Word of God. He knew what was in that young man's heart. And he told him the one thing that he needed to do. Sacrifice. Get rid of it all. Sell it. Give it to the poor. Unchain yourself. Unhook yourself from what is holding you down here. And come follow me. The young man walked away sorrowful, because he was chained to all that. He could not overcome because he loved his life down here. You've heard me talk about this. I cannot get over the spell that this woman has over people. Joyce Myers. There's a YouTube video. You go look it up. She's talking about, she's going to teach this valuable lesson on how to love others. And she said, the Bible says that love your neighbor as you love yourself. And Joyce is convinced in her mind, and she's going to convince everybody, that the real key to happiness and fulfilling God's commandment, you have to first learn how to love yourself. That is a blasphemous, self-centered, egotistical, prideful, hellish doctrine. Love yourself. It's obvious. It is obvious to me and maybe everybody else that Joyce Myers loves herself. It's very obvious to me. Me? I used to, in my youth, very eager to show the world what I was made of. Very eager to expand myself and to gain more and to people to look at me. And that was what I was very eager for. And God kind of swiped me down and brought me down to my knees. And then I learned how to hate my pride, hate my ego, hate my flesh, hate all of that stuff. Hate this life that I am, as Paul said, I am being subject to vanity. Vanity rules over me. Everything in this life that I see is fleeting. It goes away rather quickly. It's a vapor that just vanishes away. So, then Jesus said unto his disciples, and so anyway, Joyce is telling everybody, you got to learn to love yourself. Joyce, I think the problem with most Americans is that they do love themselves. They love themselves more than they love God and more than they love anybody else in this world. America's problem is not, what is it they're teaching the kids? I feel good about myself. Okay, I can't think of the word right now. But that's what they're teaching everybody in school. That's what America is full of. That's what all the daytime talk shows are all about. You take care of yourself. You got to take care of yourself. You got to do for yourself. It's all about self, 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 self. And if you hang on to that, you'll not overcome anything. What you are tied to and bound to will overcome you, but you will not overcome anything. Okay? So, Jesus said unto his disciples, verse 23, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, what this really means, this was a Greek translation of a Hebrew idiom whereby there was a gate in, I don't believe all that garbage. I heard all that stuff about, all, you know, there was an entryway into Jerusalem that they called the Eye of the Needle, and it was so low that you had to take all the burdens off the camel and you had to get down on your knees to get through it. And all of the, how spiritual that looks. That's not what he said. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man. I'll tell you something. I don't know what to think of him now. But when Jim Baker went to federal prison for stealing all these old ladies' money, like my grandma, when he went to prison, he had a lot of time on his hand. And he had a Bible. And he sat down, he wrote down every word that Jesus said in his Bible. And after reading it, he came to the conclusion that God doesn't like rich people very much. Doesn't think too highly of them. Jesus didn't. And it was Jimmy Baker who wrote, I've got a book called Prosperity in the Coming Apocalypse or something like that. And he was talking about how it's all going to come crashing down one of these days. And I appreciated what he said in there. But here's what he said. He said, I had read this thing about a camel and eye of a needle. And he said, I've heard this stuff about how, you know, in ancient Palestine, they used to have these little doorways. And he said, I heard all that stuff. He said, I don't know where they come up with this stuff, but that's not what it said. What it said was an eye of a needle and a camel going through the eye of a needle. And Jesus said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. He meant exactly what, don't change the Bible, leave it alone. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who can then be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible. I know that. But with God, all things are possible. Study the words, all things. You'll see it. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Jesus said unto them, verily, and you know, there was a truth to this. Peter, they left their nets and went after Jesus. They literally left. Peter was a fisherman. He literally left his nets and went to follow after Jesus. So here's what Jesus is telling them. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory. I like that word, regeneration. It's got the word genes in it. We're going to get new genetics because, you know why? We have a new father. Anyway, the throne of his glory, ye shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. For my name's sake shall receive 100. 8 is a number for new beginnings. I like it. Shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. You know what I've heard? These money-grubbing clowns on TBN use this passage to say, hand over the cash and forsake it, and God will give you back 100-fold more than what you gave. And people do it. Anyway, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So anyway, you forsake houses, brethren, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, lands, for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. Basically, what you fight for, you'll lose. What you scratch and dig and claw after and try to protect and everything else, what you're chained to, eventually you're going to lose it. This is the Word of God. Let's look at Mark chapter 10, verse 28. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. Now I'm going to stop right here. This Bible's right. It is absolutely right. When I decided to just, I've said this, there's one day where I emptied my pockets. I took everything out and I said, God, take it. It's all gone. I don't deserve it. You take everything. And God did. But then, God began to give back. Now, there's nothing wrong with God blessing you while you're down here, because, man, I'm trying to avoid this. This, you know, I've talked about this before. When I do a Bible study, this is here. This was what I bought for my little granddaughter before she died. And when she died, I was out in the woods. Me and God was having a yelling, screaming match. And I said some things to God. I'd never told anybody what I said. But then God was very kind to me. And I said it out loud, God, one at a time, it's okay if I take everybody that is mine and I lay them into your arms because I trust you. That's a tough thing for me to say, but I meant it. And I always keep that in mind. But here, I look at this, and my family's precious to me. They are my life. And so, and if I lost my house, I've lost friends, because things I had to say, things I had to do. I lost my dad, but I've got men in this world that I look up to that are like a father to me. Little children that I see that are like my own children. I could probably be driving somewhere in a lot of places in this country and not have any place to stay and make a phone call and spend the night at somebody's house who'd be glad to have me in. So that's what it says. Houses and brethren, sisters, mothers, and children, lands with persecutions. God has given me back way more than I ever gave up and lost. So this Bible is right. It is right in what it says. But it will come in this world with persecutions. It's a guarantee. Listen, arm yourself this way, people. Arm yourself. I know that some don't like to think of that. I know that some refuse to think about it. And they give all this justification and why nothing is going to happen to them. I just think it's a better idea to arm yourself and arm your mind with the idea that we could lose everything that we have down here before we go up there and be persecuted. I think we should have that in our mind. I really do. I think that's the only way that you're going to make it through some issues in life, is that if you have the mindset that you are going to be thrown out into a ditch, that some people are going to try to kill you because of what you believe, for no other reason than what you believe. I think it's a dangerous, dangerous setup to convince people that we're the conquering, overcoming church, bless God, and nothing overcomes us. I think it's dangerous to tell people that. Because what happens when stuff does overcome them? And it will. You just simply tell them, well, obviously you didn't have the faith that I have. Obviously you just don't have what I have. That's why it happened to you. That is a setup. It's setting people up for a fall and for them to be wounded and for them to look back at Christianity and say, you can have it. I've seen it happen a dozen times before. And I think it's just better for us to just count everything as a loss down here, because we're going to lose it one of these days. And be prepared to receive, he said, persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Joel Osteen, buddy, you can have your best life now. You can have it. You can have that Barbie doll wife of yours. You can have that big mansion. You can have that jet. You can have those thousands of millions of people all over the world looking at you, at your very, very well paid for smile. You can have all that. Have all of it. I don't want it. If you want your best life now, I promise you, Joel, you're going to get it. But you won't get the next one. It's not how it works. Luke 14:25. There went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Your gospel is all about wealth and riches and health and how everybody treats you and everything else in the world. And I'm telling you from this Bible, you are not a disciple of this Jesus. Oh, there's another Jesus that you're a disciple of, but not this one. He said, and we're going to use scriptures together here. He used the word left here in Mark. Let's see here. He talked about forsaken back here in Matthew. So when you see the word hate here, go compare it with Matthew 19, forsaking, and Mark 10, left. And so now we see the word hate here, and it carries with it the definition given by the other places in the scriptures. Remember, here a little, there a little. Compare spiritual things with spiritual things so you get the idea of what it is. You're not supposed to go to your mom and say, Mom, Jesus told me to hate your guts. And I do. I'm better. I feel better now. That's not what the whole of the scripture says. But you hang on to mama and how mama taught you and how daddy taught you. If they taught you against this Bible, leave them and forsake them. Don't follow after them. Because if you do, you are not a disciple. And here you have all these great multitudes following Jesus. And he gets it. And then he turns around and he says, stop right here. Let me tell you, if you want to follow me from here on out, here's what I'm going to tell you to do. Leave your home, leave your family, leave everything, and forsake everything. And your own life. Then you can follow me, because where I'm going, it's to the cross. And I'm going to give up everything, including my own clothes. I'm going to give up everything. And they did. They took his own clothes off of him. He says, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Rick Warren, you're preaching the wrong gospel. By pacifying a very egocentric generation of Americans, and talking about we need to understand your felt needs. Teach them about cross-bearing, Rick. Teach them about forsaking everything they have. Yeah, you built a big, very wealthy, lucrative church in Orange County, California, probably the wealthiest county in the whole country. You built a church there. Well, that was tough, wasn't it? And I know some guys that have battled the Lord's battle all their life in their ministry. And they've pastored churches, 30, 40, 50 people. And I have such admiration for them. Because they've been down in the trenches their whole ministry. And people haven't treated them very good. It's okay. You'll get something better in the next life. I promise you, you will. Luke 14:33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. It's very clear. John 12:23, Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. That is exactly. They love not their lives unto the death. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Very plain, very, very clear. Will you give heed to the warnings of the Scripture? Are you willing to forsake everything? And are you willing to give your life for the cause of the gospel? Are you willing to do that? It's a question. I cannot answer it for you. Sometimes I have a hard enough time answering it for myself. But that's what it takes. Matthew 13:21, he talked about the seeds sown on stony ground. And he said, yet hath he not rooted himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended. Well, I didn't know that was part of the deal. You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of these people who call themselves conscientious objectors. They joined the military, but when asked to go pick up a rifle and go fight, they said, that is against my religion. You joined the military. If you didn't want to fight, you shouldn't have joined the military. That's what they do there. Bible Christianity is the military. And in this country, we look at days gone by of George Washington and his forces at Valley Forge. And the hardships they endured to fight for America's freedom. The Civil War, where brother killed brother for the freedom of all Americans. World War I, World War II, where our farm boys and our neighborhood boys signed up. There was a man in our church that, when Pearl Harbor was attacked, he didn't wait to get drafted. He went down, lied about his age. He was 16 years old. Lied about his age so he could get in the Army. He joined the Navy. After they trained him in boot camp, they sent him to Pearl Harbor. And he said, he gets off a boat there. They put a plastic suit on him and they have him scooping body parts out of those ships in Pearl Harbor. 16 years old. He would lay in a submarine and hear those Japanese mines going off all around that boat, not knowing if he was going to live to breathe another minute. He said, we got off, we did our tour, we brought the sub back to Pearl, we came off, offloaded, a new group went on, loaded on that submarine, went out, and the Japs got him. And he survived it. But he was willing to lay down his life for his country. As Christians, count yourself willing. Volunteer. Stand up when everybody else wants you to sit down and shut up. Lose your reputation. Be willing to lose your life, everything there is around you. None of it, none of what's in this world can we take with us. Nothing. He that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. But little things happen to us, and we get persecuted, and we want to quit, and we want to stomp our feet and get mad. You know, we're Americans. Americans should get everything. That's how we think. Okay? When we pull up to the drive-thru, if we are three French fries short, we explode on those people. That's Americans for you. We won't be persecuted for anything, not even three French fries. That's America for you. Here's what God promises us. Romans chapter 8. Won't you please just listen to the word of God? Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness? The first thing out of his mouth was tribulation. First thing out of his mouth. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Distress? No. Persecution? No. Famine? No. Nakedness? No. Peril? No. Sword? No. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Remember that? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, can death? No. Life? No. Angels? No. Principalities? No. Powers? Things present, things to come, height, depth, any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me close with this. Yeah, first sermon out of Jesus' mouth. Now, I don't know. I kind of think this is why some people don't like Matthew. They don't like some of these books in the New Testament. They don't like them because of what they say. Matthew 5:10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. But I say unto you, verse 44, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute. I got a situation right now where I have been despitefully used, hated, lied about. That's going on right now. This Bible study is as much for me as it is for anybody. I am commanded to pray for these people. They are enemies. They have declared themselves to be so, not me. They are enemies. I have to pray for them. I have to love them. And I have to bless them. Now, what does that mean? That does not mean buddy-buddy fellowship. It does not mean that. Bless them in that you would like to see them saved and in heaven. That's blessing them. Okay? Doesn't mean what some people make it out to be. Blessing is salvation. Curse is hell. Bless them that curse you. You're a heretic. You're going to hell because you preach free grace. And I can do nothing. My flesh doesn't want to do it. So it's not here. It's my spirit that says, God, would you bless them, save them, so they don't go to hell. Okay? That's about all I can muster up. I don't want to go to hell. And to be honest with you, we're not supposed to want anybody to go to hell. John 15:18. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. Everybody loves Rick and Joel and all these guys. They love them. Okay? But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. So you know what you do? You just keep preaching. You just keep preaching. Because if they love the book the way they say they love the book, now listen. So anyway, but all these things they will do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Big statement here, Jesus. It's a lot of stuff there. It's the hardest thing for me to teach and preach. Hardest thing for me to live by. Hardest thing for me to obey. But I don't have a choice. Lord, teach us how to pray. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive others. Move on. Forgiveness of what people did does not mean fellowship. It does not mean that. Jacob was willing to forgive Laban. Laban was willing to just drop everything right there at Mizpah. In fact, they set up a pillar stone, called it Mizpah, and they said, the Lord's going to judge here. If I cross this line coming after you, God's going to get me. If you cross this line coming after me, God's going to get you. So we agree to separate. And then God will bless us both. Then Jacob, after dealing that with Laban, he's got to go meet Esau now. And he sends all of his children, his wife, there ahead of him, hoping that Esau will see that, not want to kill him. And when he sees Esau, but Esau comes to him, and they hug one another, and they love one another. And it's all over with what Jacob did to him. He dropped it. Jacob said, now come on, you know, why don't you go with me and, you know, we'll go back. And Esau said, Jacob, I can't. You've got your life, your family, your land. You've got daddy's land. I've got my own. I'm fine. I've got servants. I got 400 men. I'm fine. I got food to eat. I'm a hunter. I'm fine. There was forgiveness there. But they separated. Abraham did with Lot. You see that. Paul did it with Mark. You see it all through the scriptures. You don't have to, when they say forgive and forget, some people say, well, if you really forgave me, you'll just put up with me and put up with some more of my stuff. No, it's not really for everybody to be with everybody else. It's not how it is. We can forgive people who've hurt us, people who've used us, people who've done things to us. We can forgive them. But that doesn't always mean biblically that we have to abide with them and dwell with them. Because in some cases you can't. You just can't. So God teaches us it's better to just separate. That way we don't hurt each other. Because we will. That's what will happen. That's how they overcame. They said, oh, all this gold here that we have in this world and all this stuff down here and all this, we don't need it. We don't need it. So therefore, devil, you cannot hold anything over us. I've reconciled in my mind, and this is a good thing for you to do, that if the devil ever tried to hold anything over me, I wouldn't go, oh no, devil, don't do that. Please don't do that. I would just say, you know what? The only thing you can do to me is what God allows you to do to me. And if God lets you do it, he's got a really good, I've read Job, he's got a really good reason for it. Take your best shot. You're free, then. You are so free. All right? God bless you. I love you. This is, I don't like teaching this stuff, but we got to. This is part of it. So Put these things in your mind and don't let the devil get a stronghold in your life tying you to things down here, okay? You can be free. It's Pastor Mike. I love you. Keep us always in your prayers. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.